Hey, Bruiser Buddies, this is Wrestling Nostalgia with Dave Dynasty.
Before we dive into the episode, make sure you hit subscribe on the podcast platform you're listening on. Also, follow me on X at The Dave Dynasty and subscribe on YouTube by looking up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty. You can also buy one of my shirts at ProWrestlingTees.com/TheDaveDynasty. Now, enjoy the show.
Welcome to 1 hour of the toughest, roughest wrestling you'll ever see.
That's right, Dick the Bruiser said it all.
The big question, have you got the endurance? Have you got the brains to get past the excellence of execution?
The reason why Axe and myself were put on this earth is to demolish people.
Bobby Heenan, that is a very good-looking sport coat you've got on.
Yeah, and I paid for mine. Mine isn't government issue.
Yellow, everybody. Lance Russell and Dave Brown right along ringside. By golly, we're ready to go with another big week of championship wrestling.
Greetings, wrestling fans, and welcome to Wrestling Nostalgia. I'm your host, Dave Dynasty. Thank you for joining me for this very special episode, and I say very special because I have a bucket list interview on the show today for me. On this episode, my guest is former WWE commentator and the founder of Glow and Well Wrestling, Dave McLean. Growing up watching the WWE, Dave was the face and voice of that promotion through the 80s, when I was diehard watching by that time and old enough to really seek it out myself and pay attention. So it is so cool to get to talk to him, to hear that, to me, iconic voice in this interview was just great. And he was such a great guy. It just felt like we've been friends for years. The way he was telling stories and talking was so much fun. He was very generous in giving me some time with his busy schedule. I had to work with his team and the team there at WOW Wrestling to get the schedule because he's so busy, right? He's got so many commitments, so many things going on, so many meetings and public, you know, appearances, all these things that he does. So it was very, very kind of them to work it in. And we did work. We worked very hard at this. We went back and forth for a long while to find the time, to find the gap, to get it to happen. And when they got it scheduled, they told me that he, you know, I had 30 minutes max. And I was a little bummed at first, right? Because, come on, you know, me and Dave McLean, I could talk for hours. So I was like, oh, well, you know, I'm not going to say no. I'm going to take what I can get. But when we got talking, then we actually went close to 40 minutes. So I'm kind of grateful that Dave kind of went with it and talked. And, you know, I was trying to take it home, man. I was trying to hit my marks and hit my time. And Dave was just, he was rolling, man, telling some stories and talking to me. So it was super cool, super nice, and super generous of them to work with me and to stay diligent with me, right? Because they're very busy people. They plan a lot of things, a lot of appearances. They handle Dave's schedule. They handle all the talent and WOW schedule, lots of other things. So for them to really stay diligent with this and work with me, I'm very, very appreciative. And I hope if any of them are listening, they do understand that I know that, you know, what they did was above and beyond for me. And I greatly appreciate that. And you know, again, I talking nearly 40 minutes, tip of the iceberg with a conversation that I could have with Dave McLean. So I'm hoping in the future to have him on again and again and again and again, because there's so much more that I could talk about with him. But, you know, I feel like we crammed a lot into this 40 minutes. Lots of information, lots of stories. I think it's super, super fun. I think you're going to love it. So let's take a break. And when we come back, my guest, Dave McLean.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Phil Sinter Games is a tabletop cards and dice game company that has enjoyed success for over 3 decades. Their first game was Champions of the Galaxy and was released in 1986. Champions of the Galaxy is a tabletop game that features professional wrestling over 100 years in the future. Humans, aliens, and monsters battle in the Galactic Wrestling Federation for belts. Legends of Wrestling features officially licensed wrestling cards featuring stars like Ted DiBiase, Jimmy Snuka, Harley Race, and many, many more, including game sets for independent promotions. Each match takes place in real time. The action is fast and furious, and all the things that happen in pro wrestling, like cage matches, outside interference, three-man tag matches, they also happen in the games. You have the opportunity to run your own wrestling promotion involving either real life stars, or fictional characters of the future, or you can mix and match both. Visit PhilSingerGames.com for more information and to order the games today. That is Filsinger Games, FilSingerGames.com to order now.
If you like horror movies, be sure to check out Dave Dynasty and Ike Isaacs on the Listen to Their Screams Horror Podcast. It is available on all podcast platforms and on social media at Listen to Screams. That is Listen, the number two, and Screams.
Hey ho, everybody. Subscribe to the Pinhead Pod, the Ramones fan podcast, bringing you interviews, news, deep dives, and much more. Look it up on your favorite podcast platform. That is Pinhead Pod.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
At this time, I'm being joined by a former WWE announcer and commentator and the founder of Glow and WoW Wrestling, Dave McLean. Sir, how are you?
Dave, how are you doing, my man? Columbus, Indiana. We got two Hoosiers right here on the
That's right. A couple of Hoosier Daves. What do you
think? I love it. Well, I was looking forward to speaking with you and being on this cast with you because of your connection with the WWA.
That's right.
AWA, and all the characters that have been engaged in both of those two leagues.
That's right. Well, we're going to talk WWA, and then, of course, we're going to talk a little bit of WoW Wrestling as well. And talk about that. You grew up in Indianapolis, right? And
yes.
you started taking photographs at the shows, going to the shows, taking photographs, and eventually became the president of the Dick the Bruiser fan club. Tell us a little bit about how that developed.
It was Scotty Romer, who I know you had a feature on Sam and the Warriors and Saul Kreachman.
Yep. My buddy.
Scotty Romer and I went to grade school together, and his dad sold motorcycles at the Honda of Indianapolis on Keystone, and one of his clients was Dick the Bruiser.
All right.
And the Bruiser bought his bikes from Scotty's dad, and subsequently, Scotty called me up one weekend. First of all, we were fans of wrestling. We both watched it on TV. And myself, Scott, and a few other people in our grade school. And in fact, I've got to credit a gentleman from Indianapolis, as Jim Gould was one of our teachers. Mm-hmm. They thought Scotty and I were a little slow upstairs on the education department because we always wanted to play dumb and get out of class and go play basketball all day long. And he figured it out. He told us to read these books, and he threw them on the table, and they were Pro Wrestling Illustrated.
Oh yeah.
And he said, give me a report on them. And the next day we knew everything about them. So he told everyone, they aren't so stupid. They're slick and smart as foxes. When you give them something they like to read, they're on top of it. And subsequently, a big credit to him. So Scotty Romer is the reason you and I are speaking today.
Yeah.
That's why we're here. That's why women's wrestling's on TV. He invited me as his guest to go to the first wrestling show. We went at the Coliseum. Baron Von Raschke was there that night. Ernie Ladd, the Valiant Brothers, Bobby Heenan, Sailor Art Thomas, Bobby Bold Eagle, Dick the Bruiser. I think the Crusher was on the card. And that was my first live event, after watching it on TV. And Scotty and I snuck down into the box seats. And I looked around, and I just knew, this sounds really crazy from a little 12 or 13-year-old kid, and I just looked around, and I said, somebody in here is making a lot of money tonight. and I said, this is what I want to do. I want to be the promoter that puts all this on.
Yeah. Yeah, and well, I mean, like I said, I've heard you tell the story, right? You started the fan club. Bruiser kind of, quote-unquote, confronted you. You know, how much you making off my pictures? did the Dick the Bruiser thing, right? I mean, you know, kind of muscled you and, okay, well, you're gonna give me a cut, kid, and everything else.
And I was called. Cecil Madalena called me back. Scotty and I were selling the photos together, And Cecil Manolina grabbed me. I don't know where Scotty was. Maybe he wasn't there that night or something, or maybe, but I can distinctly remember waiting downstairs in the locker room and the Bruiser walking down the steps, and he came up to me and said, "You're selling my pictures for how much, et cetera, et cetera." And I was almost in tears. And he said, "It's illegal without a license to do so. I'm going to let you do it though, but now I get 20% cut." And he did the same deal with Scotty. Scotty and I had to go up there after the matches, which was very cool. And we had to pay him our $2 or $5 or something to he and Wilbur Snyder
Yeah.
after every match. So that was fun. That's where we really got to meet all the wrestlers.
Yeah, and you there's so many guys that found their way into wrestling, right? Through photos and writing articles. And another name, I'm sure you know of him. I don't know how well you are. I want to mention him though. He's a friend of mine as well. John Lawson from Terre Haute.
Great guy.
Yeah.
John's dad was involved with the commission.
Yep,
He was a
yep.
little younger than us, and what a nice gentleman. Scotty even saw him recently at a year ago at a CAC show in Las Vegas. I didn't get to chat with him. I would have seen him there, but I was doing WOW, so I wasn't there. But yeah,
Yeah.
John, great. His dad was in the commission, another gentleman, always treated us very nicely as kids. And
Yeah.
you're right. Paul Heyman got into wrestling through photography.
Jim
Of course,
Cornette.
Jimmy Cornette got into wrestling through photography. We all were sending photos to Tom Burke and his
Yeah.
and having him publish
I just had
magazine.
Tom on the show a couple episodes ago and talked to him. Yeah.
There you go.
Yeah.
And I remember it was either he or Norman's magazine that would send us a card, and we'd get a little card that said press with our names typed on it. And Scotty and I would show that to get into the wrestling matches.
Well, and I have to ask you, as president of the Dick the Bruiser fan club, did you have any hand in the Bruiser Buddy license plate?
No, Bruiser had a select t-shirts and the license plate with a gentleman by the name of James Pauley.
Okay.
He was in a wheelchair. I don't, not a paraplegic because he had full use of his arms.
Yeah.
But Jim was a founder and a mover shaker in the city to get curb cuts done, to get
Okay.
curb cuts on sidewalks
Yeah.
and get things done to improve handicap conditions across the city of Indianapolis. He was a pioneer for that. And Bruiser allowed Jim to come to the matches and sell those.
Yeah.
And it would go to the Paraplegic Foundation.
Oh,
And
gotcha.
Bruiser donated all the money to that. And he would allow a lot of people with wheelchairs in and pay for their vans to come to the back of the arena, unload them on lifts, and come into the events. So we would have several constituents, fans. I'd say maybe up to 8, 9, 10 in wheelchairs that were at the Indiana Convention Center that Jim Pauley would arrange for, and Bruiser made sure they got in free and their accommodations were taken care of.
Well, I think that's the least he can do, right? Because there's that old infamous newspaper story, right, where there was a brawl in the crowd and Bruiser lifted a grandma in her wheelchair and used it as a have you ever heard that story? It pretty
No,
much, that was a
I've
newspaper tale. So I think he owed that to him.
never heard
So as you're the fan, the fan club president, you're getting a little more involved, you're taking some photos. How did things develop for you to get a little more involved in the office there in Indianapolis?
Well, Scott and I were taking photos. Sam Miniker would drive Scotty and I back home after the matches. He would drive us to our parents' homes. So we hitched a ride with him after all the events and until we were able to, a year or two later, get our driver's license. And it was interesting. I would sit behind Sam Miniker with my knee on the hard cement. At my old age now, I don't know how the heck I did it. and my left arm would be on his chair, and my face here and Sam Miniker with the headset would be calling the matches,
yeah,
literally right next to me. Talk about an apprentice,
sure,
being there. Little did I know, I'm watching him announce the matches. I'm seeing the run sheet. I'm seeing the cadence. I'm hearing the producer tell him 10 seconds, 15. And God, I'm only 14, 15, 16 years old. And I'm right next to the guy that's doing the television hosting. So Sam and the Bruiser had a falling out. And I got a phone call. I was at Indiana University, and Bruiser said, "What are you doing tomorrow?" And I told him I had a math class. He said, "Skip it." And I said, "For what?" And he said, "Come on up. We're going to do television tapings tomorrow. It would be a Tuesday at WRTV on Channel 6 on Meridian Street. You're the new announcer." Mm-hmm. And I said, "What do you mean?" He goes, "You're taking Sam's place." And my first response was, "Well, I can't do that." And he said, why? And I said, "Well, first of all, I have an accent, because ever since I was a kid, people always said, 'Where are you from? Where are you from? Sounds like you're from Georgia or Texas,' even as I was a little kid." And he said, "What do you mean you have an accent?" Now, this is Bruiser. He's known me for, you know, 6, 7, 8 years since I was a kid. He doesn't recognize I have one. And I said, "I talk funny. I can't go on TV." He goes, "Well, Howard Cosell speaks funny too, and he's damn good. So forget your accent. You're going to come up here and be the announcer."
So Bruiser logic there, huh?
That's right. So good advice. So, and so I drove up from Bloomington, and literally I'd never had a microphone in my hand, never. And right here, never. He handed me the mic, showed me the prompter, and said, "You're on." That was it.
Yeah.
But those years of sitting at ringside with Sam Miniker from 14 years old on up was an apprenticeship to what I'm doing today.
Yeah. You just weren't aware, but yeah, right? It was like, there it was. And I mean, for so many of us that grew, I mean, I watched WWA all through the 80s, and you were the voice, the face of WWA during those times. And yeah. You know, that's what we knew. I mean, you mentioned, right, you went to IU, you're studying telecommunications and business, correct?
Yes.
Yeah, and then you were doing all these things with Bruiser, right? You were learning under Bruiser. You were starting to learn some production on and off the camera. At that time, when things were really rolling and you were, you know, doing more in front of the camera, what did you foresee with this degree you were getting from IU, the experience you were getting in front of the camera, Bruiser? What did you foresee in your future that you were going to do with this whole package together?
Well, the seed for women's wrestling started when Scotty and I went to a state fair. Sam Miniker drove us over, and Sandy Partlow was wrestling. And I asked Sam how come she's, you know, having to change in the car and not in the locker room. And he told me, you know, it's just the women's match. And that, yeah. I remember that seed never sat well with me. How come they're treating them less than?
Yeah.
And, Then that was an initial seed. Another one was with Princess Jasmine and Candy Devine later on, but that was after I was already the announcer for 3 or 4 years.
Yeah.
I scored the gig to become the announcer after WWA had hit its peak.
Yes, right.
And I was in during its biggest heyday. In the, you know, 71, 72, 73, 74, Scotty and I started maybe at 72, 73 going to the matches. So we were there watching it at ringside at its peak. Hmm. Bobby Heenan, Baron Von Raschke, Ernie Ladd, the Valiant.
Blackjacks.
Blackjack, yes. Mulligan, mm-hmm. All Lanza, Mulligan. That was the peak. Moose, yeah. Chola. Sailor R. Thomas, Billy Red Cloud. I can go through the whole list.
Sure.
Chris Taylor came in from AWA. So Andre the Giant came in. Bruno Sammartino,
yep,
teamed with the Bruiser.
Sure.
At the Bruiser Coliseum.
Yeah.
Scotty and I stayed, and we got to meet Bruno Sammartino that night and hang out with him. I still have the photo of myself with Bruno. So we were very lucky. But by the time I was the announcer, it was coming. It was the start of the downslide. It was the start. So, and I got out and started GLOW, Gorgeous Ladies of Wrestling, probably the last year and a half, 2 years. It's when Bruiser slid off TV and then started Bruiser Bedlam.
Yeah.
Dr. Gary Graham.
Yeah.
But I was gone by then.
Yeah.
I'd come back and I would visit, and I enjoyed going to the locker room and seeing El Bracero. And I remember I spent some quality time with Bobo Brazil.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if it was his last match, but it was definitely one of the last ones with Bobo at, you know, an armory or a show like that. And he was hanging the boots.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's talk about that downside a little bit, because so many people talk about it, right? And everybody talks about that Bruiser, it aged out. The promotion aged out pretty much, right? That there was, you know, him and Moose and Bo and all these guys on top that were past their prime and weren't kind of passing the torch. But there was, you know, there was some young talent there. They just weren't, people say they weren't given the opportunity, right? You were there during some of this transition. What did you see from the inside? Did you see some of that? That, hey.
Oh, of course. Well,
the
stars he had that never took advantage were Wilbur's son-in-law, Steve Regal, and his own son-in-law, Spike Huber. Holy smoke, the young lions.
Yeah.
Spike and I were dear friends. His brother and I went to high school together. And Spike and I were dear friends. And we would travel every city together. And partners on our body press program and stuff we would sell. And I remember Bruiser was in Florida. And so at the TV event, in the TV studio, I believe I asked Spike to bring some weights in. And we put music to there was a segment, a 4 minute segment in every show for interviews.
Yeah.
Where we talked to Jerry Valiant, you know, John Hill and the guys.
Mm-hmm.
And, I did it all on Spike Huber, lifting the weights. We put the baby oil on him and some lights and put music on and had him pumping the weights and really built him up. And I got the phone call from the Bruiser when he saw that. And he was livid that I put that effort into building up Spike Huber with the music and all that. And when we would do the live shows, I was lucky we got to do the convention center and the Tyndall Armory. So I saw both. I toddled back and forth when he would bring in Ivan Koloff or Bruiser Brody. We would go to the convention center. So I remember the distinctful night that I put music on for Spike and Steve's entrance and had speakers that I put up there. And that drove him insane that, you know, I was putting this effort into these two young stars, and he didn't want to give up the throne at that time.
Sure. And I mean, he had some good young talent. I mean, those guys you mentioned, right? I mean, Chris Carter was a great unheralded talent, great Wojo coming out of, you know, an Olympic wrestler, Dr. Jerry Graham Jr., a great talker. You mentioned El Bracero, who at that time was what, you know, the sport considered a high flyer.
Yes.
He had guys that had he kind of transitioned, right? I don't know. You know, the landscape was changing, but.
The story's as old as day.
Sure.
from the Bruiser to the Grahams in Florida to Vern Gagne.
Yep.
They all stayed past their prime. The Sheik. The greatest example of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
Watched him on Vice TV's The Dark Side of the Ring.
Yeah.
Comes on before WOW. You know, WOW Women of Wrestling is on Vice TV.
That's right, yeah.
So your fans that are listening to us can watch WOW on Pluto TV any time of the week. Pluto TV, 24/7 channel. Wow, Women of
That's right.
Wrestling,
And
Vice
we're going to
TV.
talk a little bit about here in a little bit. There's a new option coming
Yeah,
up to watch.
Roku's
Well,
coming up.
that's right. We're going to talk about that in a little bit.
NWA. Yeah.
Yeah, we'll talk about that in a little bit.
All right. So I got to see the whole thing, and yes, I saw firsthand his Bruiser's resistance to that. And I was there when Wilbur sold out. Wilbur sold out the Bruiser, and it basically retired. And Wilbur Snyder was a great guy.
And what did you think, also again, being on the inside, during that period when he was bringing the look-alike wrestlers, right? The Drill Sergeant Slaughter, the Gary Lawler,
It was bad. It was bad. Underestimating the intelligence of the wrestling audience. You cannot insult the wrestling fan. You cannot do it. Did the diehard stay? Yes. But you lost the casual guy. The crowds went from 5,000 to 4 to 3 to now we're down to 400 and some people, 500 a night. And I contribute some of that to that. You
Yeah,
can't bring in
absolutely.
a guy, very nice guy who was from Illinois, and he did look like him
He
and call
did.
him Jerry Lawler. Just can't do that. You can't do it.
Nope, absolutely not.
Jeff Jarrett always said, or his dad always said it. Jeff's also taken the motto, don't confuse the audience, you lose them.
Sure.
And my motto is, don't insult the audience, you lose them.
Yeah, definitely.
They
And
both hold true.
and I did want to ask you, for those of us like me, I'm a little nerdy about such things. Can you give me, if you can remember, can give me a brief overview? How did Bruiser's TV through the 80s, when you were, in front of the camera, how was that working? How was it produced? Were as far as filming, doing the interviews, the quote unquote locker room interviews. Can you give me kind of just a nutshell of how all that was working? Was there a set schedule? Where was that
Yeah.
stuff happening?
Oh, and at its peak, when I was working with him, we did wrestling every 2 weeks in Indianapolis at the Tyndall Armory and/or the Indiana Convention Center. And we would do 2 hour programs per night. And we were ahead on the schedule by 1 week. So that night, when we would finish a live broadcast, a live event, I would have two, just like Sam Miniker did, two cases with me, two cases which hosted each show in its entirety. And what was rolled into those shows were the interviews that we would do on Tuesdays with the individual wrestlers. And that would comprise of the 1 hour show. And back then, a 1 hour show was probably a 60-minute show, possibly 52 minutes, where today a 1 hour show is only 43 minutes. 10 more minutes time of advertising has been stuck into an hour.
So, and the, on the Tuesday interviews with with like when you were doing them right in front of the locker with the Bruiser
Yes.
poster, was that in the Channel 6 studios? Was that in
Yes.
that space? Yeah, okay.
Yes.
That's what I assumed. So did you ever, you talked about from the inside having that knowing, hey, things are aging out, things are changing, we're not keeping up. Did you ever, and of course, and like you said, Scotty was there at the time, right? Managing, actively involved, Bruiser's son-in-law. Did
Yes.
you guys try to talk to Bruiser and say, hey, this landscape's changing. Can we, let's try some stuff? Or was he just, they're just not the opportunity to speak to him about that?
No, the opera the you could speak to him, but he was shut off from that. And that's how women's wrestling really evolved. GLOW. I Princess Jasmine and Candy Devine were in a match. We did something afterwards. We got the crowd excited. I had the microphone, so I was able to ask the crowd, how'd you like that? Would you like to see these two women in the first ever cage match in the history of wrestling? And the crowd went wild, including the Bruiser's wife. He loved it. So I went downstairs with a puffed up chest, thinking I was a genius. and told the Bruiser, we're going to promote women's wrestling on the next show. We got to make them the main event. He told me I was absolutely nuts, out of my mind, and what a mistake I had done, because I had built them, the crowd, into such a frenzy with what they had done in our announcing.
Yeah.
He said, what the hell's left for me to do? I'm the next match. I got the main event coming up. He goes, you've screwed the whole thing up. Now, we were at the Bruiser's pool later in the week at his house. He and I were sitting out at the pool. He was eating his yogurt, and I was swimming in the pool, and his wife came home, and I asked her, I said, hey, I want to ask you in front of Dick, what did you think of the women's match the other night? Without hesitation, Rio said, oh my God, it was the greatest match of the whole night's show. It was terrific.
Yeah.
Dick should have seen it. Oh my God. He was eating his yogurt. He looked at her like, please be quiet. And I said, see, your own wife knows we can make the girl the main event. And
yeah.
he just said, ain't ever going to happen. And
yeah.
that's when the next week I had flyers and gyms to start an all women's wrestling league.
Yeah. Which obviously was Glow, right? Which ended up being a writing success. A big thing, right? And then as that folded, whatever, you know, in 2000, you returned to women's wrestling and you created Women of Wrestling. And
yes.
And ever since then, I mean, we're talking, you know, 25 years now, WOW has just steadily grown, gained a following. And like I mentioned earlier, it was recently announced that WOW will be part of the Wrestling Central channel on the Roku channel, along with the NWA, which you mentioned. Now, that's a wide audience, right? That streaming's, that's the new networks, right? That's new,
where it's going.
That's right. Tell us a little bit about that development and what you anticipate to come out of that being on the Roku channel.
Well, more eyeballs toward WOW. So WOW started in 2000. Terry Gold was our first champ. We started on our first event. If we were lucky, we had 250 people there. We were lucky. And then we grew it. We were doing 5,000 people a night at the Great Western Forum. In fact, we did a big pay-per-view with Lee Marshall. Bobby Heenan came in for me.
Mm-hmm.
Was the announcer for it. And that was great, having one of my, you know, heroes as a kid up
sure.
there announcing with him.
Yeah.
And subsequently, 9/11 hit.
Mm.
We were in our second year of syndication. We had just grown it to 80, 89, 90% of the marketplace. And that was its peak, because Glow was only on in maybe 80% of the market. So WOW got higher than that. 9/11 hit. The ad market went like this.
Yeah.
And I couldn't sustain the losses of the money. So it went off. So WOW was out of business for a long time, big hiatus. Maybe we did a few little spot shows, but it wasn't until Jeannie Buss came in, and Jeannie Buss went to a WOW show at the Forum and came in with me as my partner and said, let's reboot this. Women's sports is going to be big. I see the future of women's sports is going to grow. Let's start this thing again. And subsequently, we started some episodes, testing them with Mark Cuban on Access TV.
Mm-hmm.
They were bought by the company that owned Impact, and we left that network and were picked up by Paramount. And Paramount Television really said they wanted to look at the marketplace. They knew it wasn't a race or a sprint. This is gradually, let's grow the brand, get it established, get it stable, and see where we can take this. And they went in into the market in syndication, where wrestling was founded, with the Bruiser, Vern Gagne, the Jarretts, the Grant, all the shows, even Vince McMahon.
Yep.
And subsequently, we cleared 100% of the market, which had never been done. Never been done. That was like crazy.
Yeah,
and here we are 3 years later, and the market landscape is shifting towards streaming.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm in another place where I've got to pivot. We need to pivot.
Mm-hmm.
And we're still in 100% of the U.S. We're still on twice a weekend in syndication. Pluto started a 24/7 Wild channel. Vice picked us up. They've had great success with their Dark Side of the Ring series. Wow is doing wonderfully on Vice. We're on there. And now here comes Roku.
That's right.
And now we've got a 24/7 channel with the NWA.
Yeah.
So it's pushing the ball, Dave, continuing to push the ball. And one day I'll tell the Bruiser up in heaven, hey, you were wrong. Got women's wrestling on TV and it's a big hit and success.
That's right. It's all about staying one step ahead of the media, right? It's an and everything else. And not to mention, right, later in the year, WOW has some live events coming up, right? Some more tapings and things.
Yeah.
When can fans expect those announcements for those dates? And what's the best way for them to follow WOW so that they can see those announcements?
You got to go to WOWE.com, WOWE.com. That's our website, WOW Entertainment, WOWE.com. You can get merchandise on WOWware. You can plug in your zip code, and then you'll know where WOW is in whatever market.
There you go.
And if there's a zip code you plug in, fans, and you find a mistake, send us an email, DM us. We'll fix it. I just learned today in one market, the channel time is wrong. So we're going to fix that. It's a process. Patience and persistence.
That's right. It's totally different, right? It's totally different today. The whole entertainment business.
And it's harder today.
It is, right? I mean, because you don't have three networks anymore, right? Everybody's out there fishing for the minutes.
When Glow came on, remember, it was only on in 80% of the market. WOW's on in 100%. Plus,
that's right. More.
But I couldn't walk in an airport when Glow came on and not be known instantly.
Yeah.
Second.
Yeah.
Because there's only three or four stations. Fox hadn't even started until our second year of doing Glow.
Yeah. And it's, I mean, WOW, you know, Glow, WOW, so ahead of the curve, right? Because women's wrestling, it's the hot commodity now, right? And there's even WWE's having all women's events and having Queens of the Rings and everything else. And you guys are always ahead of that curve. And you know, so no excuse for people not to watch WOW. So many avenues, so many opportunities to watch it, as you mentioned, on Vice, Paramount, coming up on the...
Because of the nucleus of your fan base, Dave, being the WWE, AEW, I credited Scotty Romer with starting it all. There's another credit I want to give.
Sure.
And she was Prince Pullen's wife and or girlfriend. I don't know if they were married.
Okay.
But Cynthia Peretti, who was Princess Jasmine.
Sure, yeah.
There'd be no women's wrestling without
Absolutely.
Her.
Absolutely.
When I needed a trainer and I had to get Glow packaged to take it to a TV convention to sell it, I needed a trainer. And I had to make a phone call at 11 o'clock at night from LA. And I called Cynthia at home, Princess Jasmine. She dropped her job and flew out to train what was the initial cast of the Glow Girls, Tina Ferrari, who became Ivory in the WWE,
yeah,
Hollywood, et cetera. Uh-huh. And without her, there wouldn't be women's wrestling.
That's incredible.
And then today, there'd be no women's wrestling without Paramount, of course, and, of course, Jeannie Buss. So
yeah.
a lot of help along the way.
Well, of course, that's how you have to do it. And so, Dave, I know we're about out of time. I appreciate you coming on and talking to me, and I appreciate you. I know you're a busy guy. We just talked about all the things. So I appreciate you giving me some time, and hopefully down the road we can revisit because
I'd love to.
So much more Bruiser stuff to talk about. And, of course, I'm sure by time then there'll be completely new developments in the world of WOW that we can discuss and talk about.
Now, El Bracero, have you had him on?
I have, yeah. Me and Jose we're buddies, yeah.
Oh, I'd love to hear that. I got to go on your podcast. I know you had Bobby Colt on.
I had lots of these guys. I had the Hooded Hangman before he passed away.
Oh, wow. He was in Vegas. He was a cop out there.
He was, yeah. I've had lots of these guys. I'm actually, right now, a name that you will know, I'm on the search. I think I may have made contact. I'm looking to try to have Max Blue on. And talk
no
to him.
Way.
Absolutely. I think I've tracked him down and I'm looking.
He's got to be in Chicago's area.
I'm not sure. I've just,
okay.
just
so
today.
Sam was.
Just today. I have found some connections and I put some feelers out and I've hopefully can make that connection to talk to him. and get to talk to him. But yeah, I've talked to as many of those guys as I can. I try to talk to them.
It was great. It was a great territory.
It was.
I'll tell you what, before we go, one of the most proud things I am of what I was able to do with Bruiser, and Bruiser gave me a lot of rope, which I greatly appreciate. And I was at IU and I was booking, El Bracero will testify to this. I took us from a weekend territory to booking it Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday.
Yeah.
And I took us to the Bloomington, Indiana, the Columbus National Guard Armory. Sure.
Yeah, I remember that.
New Albany, Terre Haute, took us to the little cities outside Fort Wayne, took us back up to South Bend, Elkhart, Hammond. So Bruiser permitted me to do that. And we really had a great territory for 4 years. So even though the business was shrinking in terms of those big events at the convention center, the business as a territory expanded because we were keeping the guys working five nights a week.
Yeah. Well, yeah, that's what it's all about. Like I said, I love talking to these guys, and you've been on my bucket list for a while. So I really much appreciate it. And I've got Scotty. Scotty's coming on soon. Again, I'm gonna talk to him again. So I'll tell him that I spoke to you. And yes. I know you bumped into him recently, right? I mean, I think
his health is greatly improving. And I missed him at Cauliflower Alley this last year, but I spoke to him on the phone at it. And no better photographer. You know, he's President Bush. He's done Muhammad Ali. He's been to Japan.
Absolutely.
He came over to my mom and dad's house once when I was out of school. I was doing GLOW back then. And brought a big photographer from, All Japan Wrestling over to my house. I mean, Scotty's traveled the world.
Sure. Still
and
is.
Nobody's done more. I'd say he and George Napolitano
are
the two greatest photographers in wrestling.
Absolutely. Yeah. That's right. That's what it's all about. Some of us Indiana guys out there still doing it, right? So
I love it.
That's right. So, Dave, thank you.
How about those Pacers?
That's right. Yeah, keep going. That's right.
Pacer power.
That's
right. If I don't have the Lakers, I want the Pacers.
That's
Dave,
right.
Dave, thank you for having me.
Absolutely.
What a joy to spend the afternoon with you.
You too, sir. And like I said, I hope we can do this again in the future. And stay in touch. It's been an honor.
Oh, my pleasure. I hope everyone watches Wild Women of Wrestling.
Absolutely. It's a great show, easily accessible now. Especially with that Roku app, that channel coming up. It's going to be even easier than before. So thank you, sir. I appreciate
your
time.
Thank you. See you later, Dave.
All right.
Hey, you bums. We have to take a quick break.
Available on all streaming platforms, it's professional wrestling's greatest, largest, privately owned wrestling library. All the classic hits, flips, slams, and pins of yesteryear are on one place. It's Ultimate Classic Wrestling. Check out the Nature Boy Ric Flair, Hulk Hogan, Mr. USA Tony Atlas, Tito Santana, Rick Martel, a who's who of professional wrestling's greatest spotlight stars ever to grace the squared circle, all in one place. Grab the best seat in the house for memories and mayhem on Ultimate Classic Wrestling.
Hey guys, Ray Russell here, curator of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, inviting you guys to listen to many of the programs here as part of the WrestleCopia brand, including, but not limited to, the Wrestling Memory Grenade, currently covering the 1988 and the WWF project. You can also listen to the Regional Wrestling Podcast, where we talk the territories, whether it's Jamie Ward with Georgia 81, Roman Gomez with the UWF in 1986, or Gene Jackson covering Memphis in 85. Three projects going on right now over there at Regional Wrestling. You can also listen to The Wrestling Stoop with the legend himself, Bob Roop. Bob goes back in time each and every week, covering not just his career, but countless stories and interactions with hundreds of wrestling names spanning his two decades in the business. But that's not all. You can also check out the Puro Wrestling Academy with the professor of Puro Resu, Mr. Dan Ginnity. Dan and I go back in time and cover the history of Japanese professional wrestling in the English language. And you can listen to all of those shows and more, all part of the WrestleCopia Podcast Network, located over at WrestleCopia.com. That's WrestleCopia.com, and anywhere your podcast streaming needs are met, from Apple to Spotify, Pocket Cast, and beyond. And while you're at it, why not subscribe to our social media guys for all the latest goings on here at the WrestleCopia Podcast Network. Plus, I'm constantly adding old school video clips and pictures from throughout wrestling history. You can follow us over on X, formerly Twitter, at Wrestling Grenade. That's at R-A-S-S-L-I-N Grenade. Also, follow and like me, Facebook.com/Wrestling Grenade. And why not subscribe to YouTube.com/Wrestling Grenade. So if you're looking to support that next up-and-coming podcast brand, please consider making it WrestleCopia.
We're back on Wrestling Nostalgia.
All right, and once again, thank you to Dave McLean for joining me. Thank you to the team at WOW Wrestling for setting that up, working with me. I am super appreciative. Guys, follow me on social media. I'm on pretty much every platform. You can look up Nostalgic Dave Dynasty or just at The Dave Dynasty, and you will find me. Go check out all the WrestleCopia network of podcasts. You can go to WrestleCopia.com to find them all, or you can look up specific shows on your preferred podcast platform. Also, be sure to check out my friends at the Ultimate Classic Wrestling Library. Go to ClassicWrestling.net to sign up for your account today, and then download the Ultimate Classic Wrestling app on all of your smart devices. Now, guys, I'm going to be straight up with you. I'm not sure what I'm doing next episode. I've been so laser focused in making this Dave McLean interview happen and going back and forth and staying diligent with that, and then just other things in my life, being super busy, that I kind of neglected to get anything else scheduled. That's on me, my fault. So I'm going to try to see to what I can get together here in the next few days to make sure something comes out. If not, who knows? I may have to call an audible, right? Call it in the ring. May have to come up with something creative and original for an episode. Or I may just end up taking a week off. I don't know yet. But that is yet another reason you should follow me on social media, because I will give shine a little more light, give a little more details, and a little more direction on that in the coming days. So make sure you follow me. But until then, wherever you go and whatever you do, guys, be good, be safe, and always keep on growing.
Fans, we brought you All-Star Championship Wrestling. This is Sam Manager thanking you for being with us and saying until next time, so long, everyone.
Wrestling Nostalgia is copyright Dave Dynasty. Bruiser voice done by John Lawson.